How's everybody doing? You guys all have a good Thanksgiving? Nice, nice. The title that I decided to go with, and at the time I knew I was thinking about brothers, but then I just kind of came up with "Oh brother, where art thou?" because it's a popular phrase, and it actually ties in. So almost forgot the clicker. Okay. All right. As a teacher, they teach you one thing. Always start with your objective. What do you want the people to know by the end? This is what I want you to know. I can understand symbolisms in brother and how brother is used in the Bible and use click to mend any relationships for the glory of our God. There we go. All right, here's our schedule, what our schedule looks like. I'm going to start off with a little grabber. And then what are brothers? Talk about the brother symbolism. We'll talk about a click in some scenarios. There'll be a song in there. And then we'll close. All right. I want to set the stage here. It was a sunny afternoon about 10 years ago. While I was at church with my dad, we met a man with glasses named Mario, who was a great man of God. He looked at my father and I, and he said one of the most insulting things I could have ever heard. He looked us in the face and said, "Are you two brothers?" Oh, man. I thought, how could he not see my dad's advanced age? Or worse, I looked old. I didn't know which one it was. I would rather have said him had said anything. When I looked at my dad, he had a gleam of joy in his eye. I kindly told Mario, "Mario, did you get into the communion grape juice? What's going on, buddy?" No, I didn't say that, but I was just kidding. But anyways, that mistake forever lived in our household because to this day, my dad calls me his little brother. I still believe Mario did not have his glasses on that day. And to him, we looked like two brown blurs. So I stick to that. But anyways, this is not working out. All right. There have been many brothers. So I'm sure you recognize at least one brother up there. And if you don't, then congratulations. I'm sure you love living in your rock. Some have contributed greatly to our world. Here's the Wright brothers. Some are born brothers. As you can see, there's little resemblances with the brothers, right? Some earn the title of brotherhood. And some have brother thrust upon them. Some brothers have been good. I'm sure you can think of lots more off the top of your head. These are just the ones that I kind of noticed. And some maybe not so much. I'm just kidding with that one. I don't really. I just did that as a joke. All right. So why is this important? Why must we learn about brotherhood today? Well, my feeling is more people get discouraged from church, not by those outside of the church, but by friendly fire, by people inside the church, people who were supposed to be their brothers. Someone who was supposed to be, don't we always get into things with the people closest to us? It's kind of how we show our love, you know. It's kind of that love-hate relationship. So what? Also, mending broken relationships and uniting for Christ is going to help us in our goals and our ultimate goal that we were called to do. So how are we brothers? We got to find that out. So Hebrews 2:11. If everybody can turn there with me. Hebrews 2:11. Hebrews is all the way in the back. All right, if you have it, say amen. Jesus and the people he makes, Jesus and the people he makes holy all belong to the same family. This is why he isn't ashamed to call them his brothers and sisters. And in another version, it says they all have the same source. So basically, we're brothers under Christ, right? Let's read Matthew 12:50. Get a little further into it. Matthew 12:50. This is what Jesus says. Anyone who obeys my Father in heaven is my brother or sister or mother. So basically, you are part of the family of God if you what? If you obey, yep. Let's see. Are we our brother's keeper? Let's find out. Let's go to John 15:17. These are certain responsibilities that a brother must take on. And the first one is found in John 15:17. So I command you to love each other. Now, loving each other, we got to have that 1 Corinthians 13 type love. So if we could go there, 1 Corinthians 13, we need to find out what love is. Yeah, that popular question. Let's go there, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. I'm sure many of you can just say it by memory. Love is kind and patient, never jealous, boastful, proud, or rude. Love isn't selfish or quick-tempered. It doesn't keep a record of wrong things. Love rejoices in the truth, but not in evil. Love is always supportive, loyal, hopeful, and trusting. Love never fails. So whenever we think of love, that is the standard that we need to hold love to, right? So when we're loving our brother, how often are we quick-tempered? There's a ton. How often do we keep records of past wrongs? That's something that gets done all the time, right? Remember that time you did that? We need to forgive and forget, right? I always try and say the forgive and forget, but people don't like to forget. People remember, and they remember it forever, and they always keep it in the back, right? But love rejoices in truth, but not in evil. And love is always supportive, loyal, hopeful, and trusting. We know that's the type of relationship we need to have, right? Let's go to 1 Corinthians 8:13. So keep it in Corinthians. This is another thing we need to have. 8:13, so if I hurt one of the Lord's followers by what I eat, I will never eat meat as, So if I hurt one of the Lord's followers by what I eat, I will never eat meat as long as I live. So whatever is getting in their way, we should be knowing what drives people and what doesn't, if something you're doing is getting in their way, we should quickly not do it, right? So that's part of being a brother. And this is funny because, I'm a teacher. And they love, I teach third grade, and they love to, mess with each other. They like to bug each other, especially at that age, They know somebody, especially there's one student who knows, if you poke this girl, she's going to be, she's very sensitive to that. And she starts crying, and he knows that, and so what does he do? He pokes her, He loves, they love to find things you know, and then they love to do it, you know? So should we be like that, though? Not according to this verse. We should not, whatever is bothering, whatever is taking away from another person, we should not engage in that, right? Due to time, we're going to keep going. Here are some brothers in the Bible. You got, yeah, I'm sure you can think of some more, but these are the ones we're going to just talk about a little bit. Esau and Jacob, Cain and Abel, Joseph and his brothers, and Isaac and Ishmael. Jacob and Esau. So we know that from the moment they were born, Jacob and Esau had a little rivalry going. And from the moment they were born, they were two different people. Esau was what? He was very hairy. He was a hairy man. And Jacob was obviously more smoother. But from the moment that they were born, Jacob was clinging to Esau's what? Heel. Right? We know that we have to actually, you know, as parents, I'm sure you guys maybe felt sometimes that dad favored you or mom favored, you know, your sister or whatever it was. Favoritism. Favoritism breaks apart families. So obviously we need to watch out for that. Father favored Esau, mother favored Jacob. You know, Jacob was a deceiver. We know that he deceived his father by wearing a wool coat to make him think he was Esau to give him his birthright, right? But it's, you know what, something I always found interesting about that? Jacob wore basically a sacrificed animal to get something that he did not deserve. Kind of like what we do, right? We wear somebody else's robes or a sacrifice, right? In order to get something, our birthright that we did not deserve, right? So, of course, Jacob is alluding to what has to happen to us. Due to time, we'll cut that. Cain and Abel. We know there was a rivalry with them as well. We know that they both presented their things to God. And, you know, another thing I noticed about this story, you know that Cain presented the vegetables and Jacob presented the sheep, right? Abel presented, you know, the sheep, and Cain presented the vegetables. One thing I noticed, and I kind of wonder sometimes, did Cain not present what he needed to, maybe because he didn't like the fact that he had to actually, you know, kill something, right? Who would like that? Which one seems more pleasant? Here's some vegetables, or here, let me kill this animal, you know? That, I'm thinking that he was like, well, I don't do that. That I don't do. I'm sorry. You know? I'm sure he was thinking that. It's, here's some vegetables. That's good, right? I mean, it's the best vegetables I have. Right? But that's the thing. Sin is that bad. And you gotta think, too. They were willing to risk their lives for their sheep, the shepherds. How much do those sheep mean to them? They're like their pets, right? Imagine if every time you had to do something, you know, you did something bad, you had to sacrifice your pet. We don't really think about it that way, which is kind of, you know, we get very distanced from it. But that's actually what it was. It was very serious, right? So finally, you know, I imagine that it's in the Bible, it says that they, you know, Cain asked Abel to go on a little walk. And I'm sure that they were talking, and I'm sure Abel was just spouting things about God, and he was just so pure. And when someone is so pure, it just enrages other people. It enrages, you know. Look at it. thinks he's all good, thinks he's all pure, you know. People get enraged by purity, you know. And I'm sure he got to that point where it just kept building to the point where he actually killed his brother, where Cain killed his brother. So, but the thing is that who was the younger brother? Abel. And you know, we always tell our kids, you know, you're the older brother. You got to take care of your younger brother. And instead of actually taking care of his younger brother, he killed him. It's a tale of two brothers. One was motivated by the devil. Hatred, venom, jealousy, anger, violence, pride. And the other was motivated by the opposite, by God. Love, forgiveness, humbleness, peace, tranquil, and spiritual. They represent, these two brothers represent the constant battle we have today. You're either one or the other. And today you have to choose. Younger brothers also represent another thing. We notice that all throughout the Bible, David, Moses, Joseph, Abel, all these brothers were younger, right? They all represent a type of Christ. They're a symbol of humility and reliance with God. The older brothers usually think they, you know, well, I know it all and I can, you know, do what I want and, you know, who needs God? While the younger brothers tend to be what? A little more humble, a little more letting you lead, right? So those are, that's very symbolic. All right. So when making up, we know that Joseph actually made up with his brother Esau and Jacob made up, right? Joseph said to them, "Do not fear, for I am in the place of God. As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. So what you have meant for evil, God has turned into good. To bring about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear. I will provide for you and your little ones." Thus, he confronted them and spoke kindly. So this is what I want to get to the next part. Click. Joseph used click to mend his relationship. And click stands for something. Stands for confessing, love, looking ahead, importance, and staying calm. All right, for confess, let's go to John 8:32. We'll talk about what these actually mean. John 8:32. When you're there, say amen. All right. Jesus told the people who had faith in him, "If you keep on obeying what I have said, you are truly my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." So confessing means that you are honest with the person. If you have a problem, say you have a problem. There's so many times when I'm dealing with, you know, the third grade problems, you know, a lot of their problems happen because they didn't understand what the other person was doing. One example I'll give you. There was a story of two people who had been married for 50 years. And they're Hispanic, and us Hispanics, we love like the rice, the burnt rice in the pans. It's like our favorite, you know. And so we scrape that off and we eat it. It's a good treat. So for years, the husband was giving the wife the burnt rice. And finally, after 50 years, she starts yelling at him. She looks at him and she's like, "Why are you always giving me the burnt rice?" She wasn't Hispanic, so. "Why are you always giving me the burnt rice?" And he looks at her and he's like, "That was always my favorite part." So you see how not communicating, not being honest, not confessing something right away can lead to some problems down the line. Love. I think love is self-explanatory. Let's go to Ephesians 4:13 for looking ahead. Instead, be kind and merciful and forgive others, just as God forgave you because of Christ. So looking ahead is you've done the action, now let's change. You've done the action, let's forgive and let's forget. That's what I tell the kids all the time, you know, okay, you know what? It's never too late to change. You know, I always look at them and I say, oh, I like how this person, you know, because sometimes they're not doing what you ask. But then when you ask them again, they'll change their behavior. And so I tell them, I like when you change your behavior because it's never too late. Even if you were doing wrong before, it's never too late to change to right. I'd rather have that happen, right? Than for them to keep going that way, right? So looking ahead, importance. Philippians 2 verse 2. So if you stayed there, it should be like right the next chapter. Philippians 2 verse 2. And it says, now make me completely happy. Live in harmony by showing love for each other. Be united in what you think as if you were only one person. So importance. How important was this little fight to you? Was it worth your relationship? In the big grand scheme of things, I don't think we actually look at the big scheme. A lot of times we're just looking, especially, you know, the kids, they do this all the time. Well, he poked me and he kept doing this and that. You know, I said, okay, well then that's when you should have told me. And then you wouldn't have gotten in trouble, right? But they don't think that way. They don't think about what was the importance of this and is it worth me getting the consequence? Really? You're going to do that? And for that consequence, you're going to miss recess or you're going to miss whatever it is? It's not worth it. How important was that to you? I know sometimes, especially now, we actually, you know, when we start playing basketball or whatever it is, sports, people become another person. I'm just saying, you know, there's a lot of people that, they're very holy on Saturdays, but then, you know, you get them in the court or you get them, you know, somewhere else, they turn into, you know, they want to kill you, you know? And so I always think to myself, is this game worth my relationship with this other person? I always step back. I'm like, well, if you want it, that's, you know, it's not worth me getting mad at you over and our relationship that way. It's not worth it. Its importance is not worth it. And especially we got to think of importance, not just by, is this matter like that important in my life? Is this matter something about God? That's how I grade importance. I don't know about you, but God is part of my rubric for importance. He's at the top. And finally, calm. Let's go to 2 Timothy 1:7. God's Spirit doesn't make cowards out of us. The Spirit gives us the power of love. Gives us power, love, and self-control. So one thing you have to know. Teachers, you get two kinds. You get the teachers that they're the yellers. I told you don't do that, Jason. How many times do I have to tell you? You know, so you get the yellers, and there's a lot of them. But most of the teachers, like I would say like half. I think it kind of goes down 50-50. But some of them are like yellers, you know, and the other ones are like, Jason, what did I tell you about that? And you gotta calm down. Come on. No, that's not a good decision. That's not a good choice. So you get those. We should actually be more calm. Because when you feed into that rage, you know, you meet a child with rage, you know, they just get more rage and it's just not a good situation. And they don't like being yelled at. Nobody likes being yelled at. You tune out, right? So you have to be calm when you're dealing with and you're trying to mend a relationship, more anger is not going to help you. So, click. Click it and get a heavenly ticket, right? Let's click. First, we got to see how this click work. So let's look at our scenario here. There's a man who hasn't talked to his brother in 15 years since they had a fight. He reserved, and despite growing up with him, he has no sense of urgency to make up. If he wants to make up, he needs to call me. All right? So I'm a teacher, so I like to actually have you guys participate, not just be the one talking all the time. So I'm going to try something. It's experimental. I don't know if it'll work or not, but I like trying things anyways. Let's have you talk to the nearest person next to you. How would you use click in this scenario? And the way I'm going to get your attention back is I'm just going to do 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. On one, you are looking at me. Okay? So I'm going to let you go in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Go! Just see if it works. And if you don't want to use click, then just listen around. I'm sure maybe someone else is thinking about it. All right, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, breathe. I do that with my kids. All right. Due to time, we can't all share, but my view, I use importance. How important was this fight to him? Looking at the bigger picture and God. Next, I looked at confess, honesty, and most of all, submission to his brother is a big first step. That's the thing. People don't want to submit. No one wants to be the first to say sorry. You know? Nobody wants to, well, they want to make up. They got to come crawling back. You know? They better not be too proud to beg. You know? So, a lot of people are like that. But we need to be the bigger person, and we need to submit ourselves to our brothers, submit ourselves to whoever, our sisters. Remember, when we're talking about brothers here, especially in other languages, when they say brothers, they mean brothers and sisters. You know, it works that way in Spanish, and I'm sure other languages as well. Look ahead. In the future. So this is looking ahead. Let's forget what happened in the past. In the future. Why doesn't he plan some get-together with his brother and start, like, the mending process back? You're not going to get your full relationship back right away, but we need to take that first step. And, of course, most of all, love, and love is pretty self-explanatory. Just think of that 1 Corinthians 13 love, right? Be patient, be kind. All right, let's look at this one now. Two brothers started a band with two other people. They love competing against each other, and often these competitions get heated. The brothers started constantly fighting about the directions to go with the band and various music business decisions. The shouting and the fighting got so bad that they thought they would need to break up the band. How would we use click in these situations? Talk to the person next to you. All right, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, freeze. Let's see. This is just my view. I'm sure you had your own views, and that's okay. How important is the fight when looking at the bigger picture and God? Oh, wait, that's sorry. Actually, this one was part of an actual song. And it was a group called Need to Breathe. And they had two brothers on the actual group. And it's the exact scenario I told you. So the song that I'm going to perform today is actually by those brothers. And they actually were about to break up. I'm sure you didn't think of this, but the way that they handled it, they decided to write a song to each other. So this is the song that they wrote. Ramblers in the wilderness, we can't find what we need.
little restless from the searching, get a little worn down in between. Like a bull chasing the matadors, the man left to his own schemes. Everybody needs someone beside him, shining like a lighthouse from the sea. Brother, let me be your shelter. I'll never leave you all alone. I can be the one to call when you're low. Brother, let me be your fortress when the night winds are driving on. Be the one to light the way when you're home. Face down in the desert now, there's a cage locked around my heart. I found a way to drop the keys where my failures were. Now my hands can't reach that far. I ain't made for a rivalry. I can never take the world alone. I know that in my weakness I am strong, but it's your love that brings me home. Brother, let me be your shelter. I'll never leave you all alone. I can be the one you call to the Lord. Brother, let me be your fortress when the night winds are driving on. Be the one to light the way, bring you home. And when you call, brother, I'm right here. And on those days when the sky begins to fall, through the flood of my blood, we can get through it all. Brother, let me be your shelter. I'll never leave you all alone. I can be the one you call when you're feeling low. Brother, let me be your fortress when the night winds are driving on. Be the one to light the way when you're home. Brother, let me be your shelter. I'll never leave you all alone. I can be the one you call when you're home. Brother, let me be your fortress when the night winds are driving on. Be the one to light the way when you're home. Be the one to light the way when you're home.
So that's the song they wrote to each other. And they basically told each other, you know, brother, what we're fighting about, it doesn't matter. Its importance doesn't matter. What's important is God. And what's important is our relationship, right? So all the little squabbles that we have as brothers and sisters, I know, and the thing is that there's so much estranged family. And I'm sure you probably sat in Thanksgiving with some of them, you know. There's so many estranged family, people you're not really talking to, or people you kind of gave up on, or whatever it was. I encourage you, keep using Click. You know, I can't guarantee that they'll come back, but I can guarantee that that's your best shot. You know, obviously, God uses Click all the time, and Satan's not coming back. You know, it's a choice in the end. But I guarantee you, if you click it, you know, you may see a heavenly ticket for your family. Let's read 1 Peter 4:8. Say amen when you got it. All right. Most important of all, you must sincerely love each other, because love wipes away many sins. You know, you can often overlook a person's faults because you love them, right? You're kind with them. You're patient with them. You actually love them. And because of that, many of their sins are not even relevant to you. So we need to remember that love conquers all, right? And God is love. Let's go to Psalms 131, verse 1. Psalms 131, verse 1. I am not conceited, Lord, and I don't waste my time on impossible schemes. But I have learned to feel safe and satisfied, just like a young child on its mother's lap. So I hope that we can all say that we feel like we're a good unified church, we're a good unified group of brothers, and that we will be each other's shelters, right? That we will be someone that you can go to say what your problems are or to get support or whatever it is that you need. You know, we're all brothers and sisters in Christ. We all have the same source of Christ, right? And we're all going to help each other and lead each other home.